Welcome to the Christmas Outtakes episode. We're going to have about 49 minutes of outtakes and then 25 minutes of a Doctor Who discussion. That isn't as long as the previous Doctor Who discussions, but it's long enough to have Paul, Jennifer, and Jordan yuck it up again. So anyways, here it is, the Christmas Outtakes episode.
Insert audio here.
Insert 5-minute TV show here.
It was 25 minutes. Thank you very much. It's 25.
That's what I said, 25 minutes.
You said 5 minutes.
I said 25 minutes. You didn't hear me. That's okay.
I have tape. Yeah. By the way, we skipped something, so we're going to pretend we did this article next. So, fuck it. You know, we'll do it at the end, and I'll just move it forward if it's relevant.
We'll do it live.
We did that on Thursday. Gamers need not fear such a price jump, as game prices will be remaining at $60 for the up next... gamers near net fear such a price jump as game prices will be remaining at $60 for the next gen. Oh, fuck me. By the way, here's a question for you, Jordan. Now that Microsoft did this, aside from price, what does Sony have to say? What does Sony have to say as a reason to buy the PS4? Because they already announced that in order to play online, you're going to have to pay for PSN.
Yeah, you're going to have to pay for PSN Plus, and you get a bunch of free games if you do that. So, you know, that's their incentive for getting people into PSN.
Microsoft's doing the same thing with Xbox Live now.
Xbox, no, they're not. They're only
giving away free games.
They're doing it through the launch of the Xbox One, and then the program stops. So, no, then Microsoft is not doing the same thing as Sony.
Because
we're doing it through the launch of the Xbox One. They're not saying that it is a new thing that is continuing. They're saying that we're starting it now and we're stopping it when we're launching the Xbox One.
For the old Xbox Live, Jordan.
For the old Xbox Live, exactly.
Which means they're not going to be giving free games on the Xbox 360 after that.
That's correct. Once the Xbox One launches, their free game program ends, whereas Sony's been doing PS Plus with free games for like a year now.
By the way, when is the last time you had a major chess game on console?
When is the last time there's been a major chess game?
Whoa, I can answer that question. Ride Code 3.
Because on consoles,
on
Alan.
No. He asked on console, then you just asked in general.
Yeah.
I answered in general.
Well, you have that $700 chess program and...
There was that game that was going to come out, Battle Versus Chess, and they got sued over the name, and it never materialized
because they couldn't fulfill the Kickstarter funding. That's why. And I should know because I backed the game, and it didn't make it.
I didn't think it was on Kickstarter. I thought they actually had
it on Kickstarter.
Account.
It was on Kickstarter. Yes, that's why it never came out. Is because it was on Kickstarter. It failed to make its money. And, you know, I just told...
I saw it at PAX. It was quite the little game.
Yeah, but you know what? No one knew about it, and they didn't back it. I backed it. So I have moral high ground here. I backed it.
They were supposed to send me a review copy. They never did. And
they didn't want me to send you. It was still in development.
Well, no, it was developed. The problem was they got sued by the people who had Battle Chess. And they said Battle Versus Chess is too close to Battle Chess. You can't do it. You can't release it with that name. And it tanked it.
Oh, please just do a next gen version of Archon and we can all be happy. OK, just
exactly.
Do that.
There's been a couple of plans for that.
They had some cheap Archon ripoffs that just didn't recapture the magic of that game.
Yeah.
So just Archon. I don't care as much about Battle Chess because all that is basically chess with some animation in it. But Archon, you actually have to have some skills. And when you have a troll defeating a sorceress, there's nothing sweeter in the world. Because you have to, all you have is a stupid club, and she's just blasting things. And you have to, and you're slow too, by the way.
Yes.
Actually, you know what? I think the most powerful unit in that game to me was the unicorn. Because it was super fast, and it had a laser beam coming out of its horn. And it was hard to kill.
And if you had it on a light square, it was pretty invincible.
Yeah. The doppelganger was a deadly tool if you knew how to use it. One of the most boring battles is two phoenixes together. Or you go... Blah, 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 blah.
Or two banshees together was the same deal.
Yeah. Or banshee fighting a phoenix. Anyways, we already did our Archon gaming flashback. We can do Archon 2, I guess. I could see where Archon 2 was a better game from a gameplay standpoint, but Archon 1 was just so elemental. It just had...
Archon 1 had a specific pattern, though, and if you matched the pattern, you could win the game every single time.
Against another human?
Or yes.
Against a computer. Well, I never knew that. Okay, you know what? Actually, I know the game that's going to be the next gaming flashback, and that's Mail Order Monsters. It's about time, damn it.
Mail Order Monsters was awesome.
Yeah. Okay, so
why they haven't brought that back with a Monsters University overlay,
I wouldn't want to do it with a Monsters University overlay. I just want, you know, Godzilla, King Kong, a giant squid, a walking plant, a giant amoeba. What else was there? Was there also a sort of like a lion-type character, I think? Maybe just a furry character?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since I played that game.
And, you know, it would be so cool to do because you add teeth, add boxing gloves, add mental powers. Oh, yeah, and just a giant guy, you know. It's just a knockover. That's it. You know, I'm going to force someone to do a Kickstarter over it. Or actually just contact EA since I have contacts there. Hey, remember Mail Order Monsters?
Don't you guys still own that? Why don't you do something with that?
Yeah, or was it Ibarra who owned that? Or is it Gary Kitchen?
I can't remember.
I'll have to look that up sometime. Anyways, it's been good outtakes material, so let's just bid our goodbyes. Okay, well, we'll see you next week.
Good night, everybody.
Oh, wait, you know, actually, before we do that, so the contest will run for the next 2 weeks. We'll give people enough time to, you know, answer the question, at least have an additional week. So the contest in 2 weeks will announce the winner of the free T-shirt, and I'll try and keep it nice and toasty and warm and clean so you don't get something that's sweaty, and because I have two of them. So we'll see you next week.
Good night, everybody.
And that's the sound of an Xbox 360 launching. Okay, so how it doesn't look like an Xbox Live Arcade game, does it?
It looks like a PC game from 2002.
Yeah, I mean, well, the big thing about that is the shadows there. You know, everything is real time. So it would have, well, not real time. You know, it's not like a minute here, a minute there. But you'll see the sun start to set, and you'll see the vegetation start to be affected by that and all that stuff. The more you play, the deeper it starts to get. You know, like you think there's just a limited amount of options, but then you start seeing how deep it gets. Anyways, enjoy State of Decay, and we'll see you next week, everybody.
No spitting or cursing allowed.
Where are you getting that from?
A sign in one of the bathrooms.
Oh, okay. Now, about Baldur's Gate, there's a lot of kerfuffle going on there with the legality and all that stuff. And, you know, the entire point is they really want to do a Baldur's Gate 3, but with... actually, I think Atari was the one who was... I don't know. But someone was making a stink about Baldur's Gate, and I'm wondering if that's been resolved yet. Because the innovative developers who did Baldur's Gate actually had the rights to do a Baldur's Gate game, so they did Baldur's Gate Enhanced Edition and Baldur's Gate 2 Enhanced Edition. But then they got a cease and desist, and you know, I have to check that up. I have no idea what's going on there.
It gets twisty and complicated. I mean, look at how long it took to wrangle out the Fallout rights from Interplay and all of that. I mean, that was a nightmare.
Well, there, Bethesda was just being a major dick.
Bethesda was being a major dick at the end, but it even got to Bethesda, it was a nightmare.
No, what happens is that Bethesda made this this deal, right? And then they realized, oh, wait a minute, we're missing out a lot more money, and we can't do it because Interplay has it. So they screw over Interplay several times over, and then they tell them, well, you can make a Fallout MMO, you just can't have anything Fallout in it.
Well, and it didn't help that, you know, Interplay stopped paying California state taxes and stuff.
Anyways, yeah, thank you. I'm not getting a day older. I'm just one day. What's the line again? You're not getting older.
Drinking is my question.
No. It's you're not getting older. You're just one. Damn it. I have to look up
one day closer to death.
You're not getting blank. You're just one day closer. Let's see what the proper quote is. Damn it.
Happy birthday.
Okay, it is.
Happy birthday.
You're not getting older.
May the candles on your cake burn like cities in your wake. Happy birthday.
You're not getting older. You're just getting closer to death. By the way, you know what? That's actually the lyrics from Time from Dark Side of the Moon. You know, so you run and you run, but you're older, shorter of breath, and one day closer to death.
That's true. Yeah.
You know, so, and I can hear the music being sung in my head, but I'm not gonna do that. I'll just have it playing over the ending here.
There you go.
So, the other thing is that, you know, I'm wondering, are you gonna get an Xbox One?
I have no intention of getting an Xbox One. Not immediately. No.
Oh, I mean, eventually, because the thing is that if I get an Xbox One, I would like at least one person who I know directly who also has an Xbox One.
It depends on if Microsoft does something silly and, you know, goes back on all of the promises that they're making.
I don't think that would be company suicide, I think, especially since,
I think it would be. But, you know,
but here's the thing is that the Xbox One right now is their income. You know, it's strange how that's happened, but yeah. Windows is not the driving force behind their profits right now. And
the driving force behind their profits has always been Office, but
it's not anymore. According to what they've recently found is that the Xbox One is the interactive entertainment division is the only division that's making money for them right now.
Hmm.
So, yeah, I don't think they're going to screw around with the Xbox One, especially since Don Matrick is out.
Well, you know, my beef with Microsoft wasn't so much that they took the stance that they did, which was unpopular. It was when it became obvious how unpopular it was and that people didn't like it, they doubled down and they were like, you know what? We're not changing our minds. You're going to take it and like it anyway.
But guess who doubled down? It was Don Matrick. Remember? He was the one who said, well, for, you know, the people who don't want online, they can have the Xbox 360. He was the one who made that quote, not, you know.
Exactly. So, you know, it's a good thing that he's gone.
John Ricciatello is gone. And it's a good thing.
You know, my fear is that once they reach critical mass on sales, you'll see all the DRM stuff come back. Because once a company starts doing DRM, they never undo it. We've seen it over and over and over again. They just make it worse.
Well, EA stopped it and Ubisoft stopped it. So, by the way, notice that EA stopped it after John Ricciatello left. And Activision Blizzard started reversing themselves on stuff once Vivendi is out of the picture.
Yeah. So, well, I've got my prepayment down on the PS4, so I'm set. I'm ready to go.
Well, the thing is that unless there's cross-platform
play, I'm first in line at my store. I am very excited.
Well, the problem with that is there's no cross-platform play. I mean, one of the silliest things, by the way, was Square Enix saying that they didn't want to make an Xbox One version of Final Fantasy 14 was because Microsoft did not want to have cross-platform play between the
They had cross-platform play between the Xbox 360 and PC.
Yeah, but they don't want to, you know. They don't want to have cross-platform play with the PS4. I mean, and the thing is that the developer just said, I can't make a game that doesn't have cross-platform play. I can't make an MMO that doesn't have cross-platform play. And I'm thinking, what?
Sure you can. It's easy. It's been done all the time.
Yeah. But it's such a fast, you know, I might create a campaign if the editor is right. I mean, I used to make tons and tons of Heroes of Might and Magic maps. And what's funny is all these Slavic countries email me asking permission for me to use the maps that I made like 10 years ago. I said, sure, why not? Watch, I find out they're selling it for $100 packs. No, I'm kidding. I don't. As long as people are enjoying the maps that I created, it's good. So the thing is that, you know, it's, you know, I mean, forget it. I lost the point I was going to make. Move on.
Train of thought is boarding at the station.
But here's the thing. Before you go on, there is a trope in TV tropes that is called Seinfeld is unfunny. And that basically is what it means, is that you've seen all the imitators, and then when you go to the thing that they're imitating, it's not that great because you've seen it imitated. You know, it's sort of like, I've seen that before, but it's the first one to do it, but it's not funny anymore.
Even then, Seinfeld wasn't that
bad. Well, I mean,
drive on a parkway and you park on a driveway. What's the deal with that?
Oh, I mean, Jerry Seinfeld had some good bits in his stand-up. Like his entire bit, when he did his entire bit surrounding about Superman and picking, you know, and talking about the character, you know, that was his.
He was a huge Superman. Well, I shouldn't say was. He still is a huge Superman fan. It'll be in the end of Superman fandom. It'll be him versus Nick Cage in a battle to the death.
No, Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Remember, he Neil deGrasse Tyson found Krypton.
That's true. Yeah.
Although,
well, you didn't get that ending, so no. Maybe the end of episode of season two, though.
Nah, but by then we won't care. See, that's the problem.
I'd care.
Oh, anyways. Well, you know, the real question is, how old is Clementine going to be in season two?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I mean, if it takes place now, she'll be 18 or 19 because the season one takes place in 2003, right?
Yeah.
It's not taking place in 2013. But actually,
I the longer it goes, I think the more people get attached. I mean, people were very attached to, I don't want to spoil the comic, but people were very attached to the events that happened in issue 100. And you know, things along those lines. I think the longer it goes on, the more people care.
Actually, I was wrong because, well, maybe not wrong, but I just realized 400 days actually refers to 400 days after the initial, you know, outbreak.
After the outbreak.
But on the other hand, we don't know if that's when season two will begin. I mean,
right.
All 400 days is doing is setting up for the...
I still need to go back and finish 400 days.
Oh, yeah. You should. I love the way it wraps things up. Have you ever read Giant in the Park?
No.
Okay. Order of the Stick, I mean. The Order of the Stick, you ever read that?
No.
Okay. Well, you should check it out sometime. I mean, they're now at page 909. And they have a couple of books that are basically the comic strips from 0 to 250 and that sort of thing. You should read it, especially if you love D&D, because it parodies. These characters are in a world that runs on D&D rules. So like they're whispering, right? One of the recent things they're whispering, and Alan says, "Oh, by the way, I rolled a 9 on my hide check." Hold on.
You all right?
I'm going to have to put this on pause. So, you know, one of the comics, you're sneaking around, and Elan, who's sort of the ditz, you know, says, "Well, it's all right, except I just rolled a 9 on my sneak check," really loudly. You know, so there's stuff.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, but like I said, you got to read it. And it's okay if you take the time to read it from number one. It starts off as just a comedy, but then it gets really serious and emotional. You know, call it the Cerberus system. The Cerberus effect, you know.
I liked Oglaf, which starts off as pornography and becomes hilarious.
I never heard of it. But, yeah, it's a Giant ITP. It's Giant in the Park. Or you can just do a search for the Order of the Stick. You got to read that. I will
take a look for it.
Yeah, and basically they're all stick figures, but it's hilarious.
Oh, okay.
Like I said, I want it to become Autoduel. I want them to take that, pick it up, and just turn it into Autoduel. Basically, you know what? they did have a car combat MMO.
It'll be an expansion pack where you get guns.
But I want a car combat
MMO. For $15.
And the only problem with that is that Steve Jackson is one major a-hole, I guess. I mean, that's what I hear from a lot of people. And he's just a money grubber. So unfortunately, I mean, that's why, by the way, Fall, it's not a GURPS game. It's its own game because Steve Jackson tried a strong-arm Interplay. Interplay said, screw you. They made their own game set rules and left GURPS in the dust, you know?
I have a soft spot in my heart for Steve Jackson games after the whole Project Sun Devil, where he got raided because the feds thought his computer RPG was a hacking manual. Honest to God, that happened.
Well,
Operation Sun Devil, look it up.
Well, maybe you just like it because he made the game. I'm sorry, that's cheap ass games. Never mind. I was about to say he made the game Kill Dr. Lucky, but actually it's a.
I love Kill Dr. Lucky.
They actually made a Save Dr. Lucky.
And, yes, I have both.
Oh, okay. And the thing is that now, for those who don't know that game, basically Dr. Lucky wanders around this house, and you have to off him without any other people seeing you do it.
It's like Clue, except you get to be the murderer.
Except, you know, like I said, no one can be in your line of sight, and you can't be in anybody's line of sight, which makes for an interesting game. I actually prefer the monastery game in which you play a novitiate trying to, you know, running around. Is it called Nuns on the Run? No, that's the name of a movie.
Nuns on the Run.
That's a movie. The Nuns on the Run was with Robbie Coltrane, no?
I don't know.
Jordan?
Jordan? I'm here. Oh, I'm okay. I'm chewing.
Well, respond.
I don't know what Brain Age is. I've never played
Brain Age. You've never played Brain Age?
No, it looked like something that was for grandma and grandpa, so I just passed on it.
It's actually kind of fun, and you know, it makes that brain training thing sort of fun. You know, it's sort of like puzzle. It's not puzzle games. It's more like how fast can you do these puzzles, basically, you know? The one thing I learned is that when it does the sight and color thing, in which you have to say what the color is, you know, it'll show red, but it'll be black, you know, and you have to say black, not red, you know, so it sort of fools you in that way. If you don't say blue, say brew, because it's Japanese and they don't have the L sound. You have to say brew.
That seems poorly designed.
Well, it's not very well localized, but what can you do? Inafune, quote unquote, fought hard for taking our next news item. Inafune, come on, he's famous. by the way, we might as well take this. This is kind of a few weeks old, but Alan actually upgraded his graphics card.
Yeah, we bought a new graphics card for Alan, and I forget what we ended up getting him. It was GTX 260 or 250, something like that.
And he finally was
which,
able
by the way, I found out something interesting at PAX Prime. If you have a NVIDIA GTX 250 or greater in your PC, you can stream PC games to the NVIDIA Shield.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was the big thing.
So any PC game, assuming you have the correct graphics card, will stream to the Shield. And I played I played Skyrim on a Shield running from a PC streaming to the Shield.
Hey, that might get you back into PC gaming if you can use your regular old controller with it. And you don't even have to be sitting at the PC. Just make sure you're within Wi-Fi range.
Exactly. And you could take an HDMI cable from the Shield, hook it up to a television set, and you're good to go.
Well, that makes it a little bit more worth the $300 price point for that thing then.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they are, by the way, it's funny to see it because I've seen both the Shield and the Ouya out in the wild. You know,
I haven't seen a Shield in the wild yet. I mean, I saw it in PAX.
GameStop.
I understand that they're very heavily back ordered and sold out. They produce 10,000 units and they're all gone at this point.
I saw them available at GameStop here in New York. I mean, I mean, do you want one? You're saving up for the PS4, so.
I have the money for a PS4, but it might be interesting to play with a Shield. I don't know. I want to see more about it first.
You know, I'm debating whether to get the Call of Duty Hardened Edition, which is $200.
Uh-huh.
You know, because it comes with that 1080p video camera and the strap on, so that you could do something like do parkour and run around with the thing strapped to your head. So you know,
the big problem with the Shield, as near as I can tell, is that so many Android games are meant to be played portrait style on a phone, and when you get those running on the Shield, the entire video is turned sideways, and the controller doesn't really know what to do with that.
Okay.
I mean, you can play it on the touchscreen like you would on a phone, but it's kind of awkward having it be sideways.
I will keep that in mind.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be Civilization.
Oh no, I could talk about Minecraft.
That's true. You know, we don't have any Minecraft content on GameStooge.
How are you allowed to stay online? No, that's fine.
Well, no, I was hoping that outrage would spur you into, oh, you know what, you have to remedy that. You know what, I'm going to just, I've started trying out the quick option. You know, you have the standard pace and I decided to try out the quick pace, you know, and I'm actually finding myself liking it, you know.
Oh, that is the only speed I have played on Civ 5 consistently since it came out.
Really?
Unlike Civ 4, where I played on standard speed, yes, I found it. Now, maybe standard speed has been better with Gods and Kings and Brave New World.
I mean, I've enjoyed standard speed with the two expansions, but.
But after standard speed on vanilla Civ 5, oh, I just know. And besides, how can you get wrong with something that's named Quick? I mean, really.
I guess, but you know, I still have that standing invitation to you, so to try out a co-op game, you know, and maybe we should do it on Quick. Just to see it. By the way, I also, you know, what I sometimes do, with Civ 5 is this: when I go into expert setup, advanced setup, I first turn on the resources to abundant, and then on a huge map, I will reduce the number of civs to 8, and put in 36 city states. So you have more room to explore, but, you know, but it isn't like you're alone on the earth, but it isn't like after a few turns, oh, hi, and you say, oh, crap, I got to share this continent with this person. Really? I also start finding myself playing on archipelagos, too. Because...
Oh, well, I will say that since well, not just Brave New World, but since Gods and Kings came out, and especially actually since Brave New World, that maps with water playing against the artificial intelligence, there actually is some semblance of intelligence there.
Yeah, especially, well, you know, the thing is that now that they split the ships into melee and range, you know, it's kind of interesting, you know, and I find that, you know, what really helps is that if you have a nice big fleet and you just sail into someone's harbor and say, hi, we're here to bombard you for about 2 hours and you're going to die and, you know, there's nothing you can do about it. You know, there's nothing sweeter than just, you know, just pimp slapping someone with a bunch of battleships.
Oh, yeah. Even if you're not intending to take the city, although at that point I'm not certain why that wouldn't be your end goal, but you can just sit there, maybe get some experience and just do it just to be a dick.
How often do you raise, by the way? Do you ever raise?
It depends. I would say it's rare. If I think that I'm not going to be able to make something better of that city, then I will raise it. But what I will do, however, is unless I'm going to raise it, I always choose puppet.
Okay, I was about to ask puppet or annex. You know, I tend to annex.
But... The problem with annex is you're going to have that period where you're not going to be able to do anything in that city. You have no control over it, and you're getting an extra unhappiness hit.
Well, the other thing is that, you know, sometimes you just don't want to have that culture hit either when you annex when you get another city. You know, because the more cities you have, the more of a culture hit you have, because, you know, it's spread out. You know, I mean, I like that little balance. You know what I haven't tried, and this is gonna be my last Civ 5 mention on this podcast. I want to see how the one city challenges, in which you only allowed to have one city. Have you tried it?
It's been a long time since I've done a one city challenge. Although you can only have one city, you could ally yourself with a city state and then gift them units and let them take the cities. So then I know it's not really your territory, but by an extension, your empire through your city states, you actually have more than one city, even though you can't control them.
That's so Soviet of you. You're such
yes,
a
comrade. You're I such also a like. It's interesting you say that because when it comes to, and this will be my last comment on Civilization V on this particular podcast. When it comes to the ideologies that Brave New World introduced,
yeah.
Order is my favorite.
Really?
Yep.
Huh.
It is.
Yeah, I'm thinking about the things. I've seen some of them, you know, and they are useful for certain situations. But usually when I'm going for a culture victory, I have to go with freedom.
Oh, well, of course, it does always depend on, yeah. I mean, okay, technically those ideologies can be used for any victory condition, although some are more optimal than others. And yes, for culture, freedom is the way to go.
What I find is that you can't switch from, what I found surprising is you can switch from ideology easily. You go from freedom to order really quick. I mean, you're in the middle of a world war. Oh, guess what? Order time.
Yeah, you lose one, you get one less tenant. When you switch, and there are times where, in fact, you may decide that even though I would like to go, like I'm going a culture victory, I would really like to choose the freedom ideology, but I see that there's going to be some discontent here.
The other problem is that I've never seen another I'm pretty sure it happens, but I've never had a civilization roll up at me and say, you're with that ideology? Screw you. You know, I haven't had that yet in which they expressed a disappointment that I was using a different ideology than them. Maybe I win too quickly. I don't know.
Yeah, they if you look in the diplomatic modifiers, they might not actually contact you in game, but you can see, for instance, that oh, you've chosen this ideology and they've went this way instead.
Yeah, I always like you know, I'm beginning to see the virtues of saying I don't care what you say when they complain about something because at least you won't have to keep to your word. You know, like why stop. Settling near us, because sometimes I don't know where the game considers near. I had that, and then I settled somewhere far away from them, and they still complained, and they said I broke their word. But I said, it's on the other side of the friggin' world. What are you talking about? So now I'm starting to think, you know what? Maybe I just say, oh, yes, what? We're doing it, and pfft, who cares?
Well, yeah, exactly. It's just like, can you, like, not move your troops there? okay, we won't do that. And then you move them, and then there's like one unit, and it's like, oh, you broke your promise. And then, of course, then the rest of the world knows about it, and they're like, hey, you broke your promise with that civilization. Negative diplomatic modifier across the board. Yep.
Have I had them be scared, in which every – when I got the nuclear weapons and I had a big army, the next time I spoke to – every time I spoke to people, it said that they were afraid of me. You know, instead of neutral or friendly or that, they were just afraid. You know?
Yes, that's a very narrow window that you will see afraid. And usually earlier in the game as well. It's not as common in the later game.
Yeah, but you know, the thing is that my favorite thing is when I'm converting their cities and they complain and I say, no, I don't care. My guys are going to come into your thing and just convert the hell out of your people. They like my religion, not yours.
I will say my favorite thing to be able to do in Civ 5, and I pointed this out after Gods and Kings came out, and it's still in Brave New World. City-state, even if your friends are allies with them and you would like to increase your influence with them, if you – unless you really want one of their quests, because if you bully them in for their gold, of course, they cancel the quests.
Yeah.
If you bully them and then give them money back, you will have more influence than before you bullied them.
That's sort of like a battered wife, though, isn't it?
It's I'm just like, what, really? And of course you can't bully them every turn.
They're sadomasochistic.
Well, yeah, exactly. And I'm just kind of like, sometimes I really don't care about the quests.
I'm not going to do that though. I don't like to game the system like that. It just feels cheap to me.
Once you try it.
No, I don't think so. Anyways, that's the end of this podcast. I can't say that Dan will be back next week, but hopefully Jordan is.
It was good to be back, and I'm certain I'll be on the show again in the future. But remember, game on.
By the way, just before we leave, Paul did offer yesterday to do the podcast, but he only had 45 minutes. And, you know, he will be available in a few weeks. The development crunch that he's in is taking – you know, it's taking up all his time. So at some point, Paul will be back. We'll let you know when Paul is back because, you know, everybody loves Paul. Just like everybody loves Raymond. Except no one loves Raymond on that show.
And there's probably some people listening to this. And just like cassettes, they have no idea what you're talking about.
And I'm sad. They know what I'm talking about. Anyways.
Well, they know about what you're talking about now because they spent the last few seconds, like, searching it online. Now they know.
Too Human was the big one. I mean, it was supposed to be a huge thing. It was supposed to launch into a trilogy on the Xbox 360.
It was supposed to be a style game. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And I did play it. I did rent it. And for the life of me, I could not figure out a lot of what was going on. Some of the basic mechanics.
I played the demo. The demo was fine.
No, but I rented it on Gamefly. And it's like, okay, you know, you're trying to do a Diablo-like, but you're not getting what makes a Diablo-style game addictive, you know? I mean, you forgot that the podcast was on because you were playing Diablo 3 on your PS3. I mean, that's correct. Addiction. I played Too Human thinking, okay, when is it going to actually become interesting? The color scheme was wrong. The loot drop was wrong. The combat was wrong, you know? And what was – he hid the fact he was using the Unreal Engine, lied and said it was something else, and that's why they were forced to destroy all the copies of Too Human?
Oh, they haven't destroyed all the copies of it. It's still out there. Amazon has it for $20.
Yeah, you're supposed to destroy all copies though.
Not that I know of. I mean, it's still out there for sale everywhere.
Really?
Yeah. I'm looking at it right now. It's on Amazon for $20.
Okay.
Free shipping. Woohoo!
Yeah, well – Techland's upcoming Dying Light has some similarities to its previous open-world zombie game, Dead Island, but the developer... Techland's upcoming Diablo... that's wrong. Techland's upcoming Diablo... okay. This is like sort of like a tongue twister here. But Techland has this annoying thing of ignoring projects. Like, they'll have two projects, you know, in work, but they'll put all of their force behind one and leave the other one to the wolves. For example, the first Call of Juarez, not the first, but they were making a Call of Juarez game at the same time they're making Dead Island. So Dead Island came out and it was really, you know, nicely done, but the Call of Juarez was an all-time bad game. And then they start putting all their focus on the new Call of Juarez game. I don't know if you've seen it, in which you go back and it's back in the 1880s.
No.
And it's actually pretty good. And I forgot what it's – is it Bound in Blood? I'm not quite sure. Anyways, the Call of Juarez game is really, really good and polished, but the Dead Island Riptide is a piece of crap. So
right.
Hopefully they have their entire team working on this one game. They haven't proven they can work on multiple games at once. So, yeah, I mean,
the other thing is we're seeing that with Sega more and more too right now, where Phantasy Star Online 2 has not been announced for the Western markets at all. Sega just announced that they're doing Phantasy Star Nova, and then immediately followed that up with a release saying, "Yeah, we don't have any plans for that in the Western markets either."
They also said that Yakuza 5 is not coming to the Western market, but
it's like Sega is not interested in money. I don't understand that.
But here's the thing: Yakuza Ishin is coming in time for the PlayStation 4 launch, and basically, Yakuza Ishin takes place during the Japanese Restoration. You know, the last years of the samurai.
Oh, the Meiji period. Nice.
Yeah. So, and they had the trailer for TGS, which is quite interesting. You know, that I think is going to be the killer launch title. The killer launch title for the PS4.
Interesting.
Yeah, and I didn't even know it was a launch title until Sega announced it. So there's an extra bonus launch title that's actually an exclusive. So yeah, Yakuza Ishin, check it out. Check out the video. You might be impressed. Right. By the way, have you seen now? The Steam Machine was announced, right? And it's not part of the news. But did you see the gamepad they're using for it? It is the ugliest, stupidest controlled thing I've ever seen in my life.
I am reserving judgment until I actually get hands-on with it.
Yeah, but you've seen what they're trying to do.
I have seen what they're trying to do.
Well, explain
to
the audience what they're trying to do.
So if you imagine a traditional controller and remove the thumbsticks and replace them with touch pads where your thumbs can go, and the touch pads are also clickable. They're actually buttons in addition to being touch sensitive pads, and that's basically it. And then the A, B, X, Y buttons, where you would be, you know, in a diamond pattern off to the right hand side, whether it's a PlayStation or an Xbox controller, instead are located to the left and right of the thumb pads. So you have two buttons to the right of the left hand pad, and you have two buttons to the left of the right hand pad, so that the four buttons are centrally located on the controller, which seems to me the strangest part of the layout.
Yeah, comes to mind. I'm thinking about the Gizmodo for some reason.
Yeah,
I mean,
I'm not sure either.
Anybody who's used a tablet for more than 10 minutes know how successful it is to use a touch your thumb touching for a game for control. Doesn't work. Because it's imprecise. I mean, when you have an analog stick, it's very clear which way it's going. You need to go up, left, right, whatever. You know, 360, right? But with a touchpad, you don't know where your thumb is making contact on the pad. So it's going to interpret it different ways. You know, I don't know what Valve is thinking. They want to make a console for people who don't use consoles, and they're making a gamepad that no one would ever use.
They were trying to come up with a gamepad that could work as a gamepad but also simulate mouse actions, and I don't think it's going to work. I really don't. I hope it does work. I would love for it to be a fantastic gaming device. Ideally, what I would like to see on a controller, and there are a couple of third parties that make them.
I see him trying to play World of Warcraft with this controller.
Well, you could do it very easily with the third-party controllers that I've seen, where you take a standard Xbox controller or a standard PlayStation 3 controller and replace the right-hand stick with a trackball. And it does everything that a mouse does, and you're good to go.
They do have a joystick, right? Not a control, not a gamepad, but a joystick that has buttons all over it, right? And you have the A button, you know, and all specific, and that you macro those buttons to specific things, right? Like you macro your A spell, your one spell, your two skill, all that stuff, right? But that's the way.
Yeah, I could see that working.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird, and you know, I think there's also tons of keyboards that do that too. But the thing is that I don't know what they're. I mean, I know they hate Windows. You know, I'm not even gonna get into this. It's a waste of time.
It's too long.
Yeah. This next article actually complements the article we had before. Remember the article about Dead Rising 3 locked at 30 frames. You know, locked. They say locked, but they actually mean is that it's the worst it can get is 30 frames per second. Oh, by the way, did you see this where they said that there was a rumor that Dead Rising 3 was coming to the 360?
They had to squash that. I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, huh. They thought it was going to be for 360. But what's interesting is that they were going to develop Dead Rising 3 for the Xbox 360, but they found that the 360 could not handle it whatsoever. Hmm. So they said, okay, you know what? We're just going to have to push this to the next-gen device and get it to work with that. Which, by the way, this brings us back to the cloud, the single-player cloud that Microsoft was talking about. And then Ubisoft said they would be making use of the single-player cloud for the Xbox One version. So I'm wondering how much, you know, but the cloud would only deal with content, though. You know, you're streaming in and out content really fast. You know, it's but that does have an effect on frame rate, I think.
I don't think it would have any effect on frame rate whatsoever.
Well, if you have more stuff on this, it's going to affect frame rate.
You can't stream it in fast enough to make up. No, it wouldn't work. No, you would have to be streaming it as fast as you stream it from disk or from hard drive, and that's not possible with current internet connections.
No, Jordan, I'm talking about they would be streaming it into the cache. Directly to the screen.
You can't stream it fast enough over American internet connections. It doesn't work that way.
No. Well, see, that's what they do with Grand Theft Auto 5, though. You know?
Yeah.
They actually load stuff onto the screen, or else every time you go 10 feet, you'd have to wait as the new screen loaded, right?
Right.
Well, they have it cached so that when you go in that direction, it says, okay, we're going to be...
But it's caching from the disk. It's not caching from the internet. And so that's the thing. The internet speeds in America are not fast enough to do that.
You don't have to be fast if you're caching.
They do have to be fast. Otherwise, your cache is going to expire before new content is loaded. It's not going to work that way.
Hmm.
Trust a guy who does network engineering.
Well, let's get back to 30 frames per second. Can you imagine if you could... I know... Nintendo would be loath to do this, but selling those old games for 99 cent apps.
It would be a license to print money if they would do that.
They could sell Pokemon XY on iOS for $10, which is astronomical to certain people, you know, because they have this skewed little economic brain in their head in which if you sell something for $5.99, it's premium. You know, but
here's an idea. You know, I was over at the store the other day. Yes, I still look at software in stores and saw a box that I hadn't known existed. And it was a collection set of all of the Elder Scrolls games in one box, which I thought was a pretty slick idea.
Be careful because Arena notoriously is allergic to Windows, you know?
Yeah.
And the thing is that was the main problem when they did that with Command & Conquer.
Well, that and Arena and Daggerfall you can also get for free from them.
Yeah,
they offer them as free downloads. Where I'm trying to come full circle here is that if Nintendo offered a Pokemon collection, which was Pokemon Red, Blue, Yellow, Silver, Purple, Onyx, and whatever, however other colors they've had as one collection for iOS or PC or you name the platform, they would not be able to handle all the money.
Yeah,
they
would sell for $29.99, even as an iOS game, having that bundle.
It would be through the roof. And this seems to be a common trait with both Nintendo and Sega. Why they don't want our money, I don't understand this.
But here's the thing. Now, picture that. But having the standard iOS game functionality with that app that's in iOS, the game, I think it's Game Watcher, and also having Facebook and Twitter functionality, and being able to, you know, and having the typical app in which all your friends through Facebook and all that can interact with you, sort of like a Street Pass except on Facebook.
Right.
You know, that would make people go bonkers. And also, you know, if you really wanted to get a little cute, you could have your 3DS involved as well. And I know Nintendo loves doing that sort of thing, by the way, in which they involve all their peripherals so that they work together, you know, and you have it working with Wi-Fi and all that stuff. So you do your street pass through your, and you can transfer your Pokemon from your 3DS to the Facebook and all that stuff. You know, Pokemon that you'd already raised, you know, you could send it to your iOS device. Like, and that's not even counting, like I said before, all the classic titles they could do. The original Legend of Zelda, 99-cent app. You know, do you know how many people would buy that?
Oh, yeah, it would be crazy.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, Nintendo, and you know, the funny thing is Nintendo called Apple their, oh, that's probably why not. They consider Apple their competitor on the handheld space. When they're really not, you know, the audiences have some overlap, but not a lot of it.
Yeah, it's not quite the same thing.
No, well, anyways, moving on. What are you doing?
Nothing.
I can
listening to you.
I hear sound effects in the background.
I don't have anything going on.
I hear shooting and someone's playing a game.
No. There's no. I am in a quiet room.
Oh, you know what? I think it may be me then. Yeah, there we go. Okay. So, okay. Xbox One and PlayStation 4 headsets compatibility issues, and this comes from Mega Games. Sony revealed that the PlayStation 3 headsets won't work for PlayStation 4 chat on launch day, and that future firmware updates will enable them. Well, that. And I said that wrong in the first place. Anyway, yeah. Apple sells 3.38. Apple sells 3.38. Apple sells.
It's a little more than 3.3.
Right. Oh, yeah. I'm not going to Russia anytime soon.
Well, that will be our high traffic time as the nation's consciousness turns towards the Olympic Games.
Yeah. Right.
I'd rather the Olympic Games not happen there. Anyways, we're going to move on to the Gaming Flash.
However, if you're interested, there is one of my personal favorite pins there just for special interest of people like Jonah Falcon.
Okay. I just hope the when an American athlete wins, they just unfurl a rainbow flag, whether they're gay or not, and just shove it in the face and say, "Look, we're doing homosexual propaganda." Oh, the one that's going to be in, is it Karak? Or no, Karak. That's a fictional DC country.
I'll be like a million by then.
Qatar is gonna be
Kazakhstan.
A major disaster. It's gonna be a
Qatar. Made up, Jonah.
What?
It'd be in Kazakhstan.
It's the one with a Q, with no U.
I have no idea what you're talking about. That word doesn't exist in English.
Qatar.
You're correct. It does not exist in English.
Well, which one am I thinking of?
See, Jordan's got my back.
Qatar is not English, yeah.
Well, actually, Catan is a name, but Qatar, right. Yeah. So anyway, but the one that's in Qatar is going to be an absolute disaster. So.
Ooh, really? Why?
Oh, I'm not going to get into it. Let's just say it's going to be way too hot, even for the air-conditioned stadiums, and they basically bought their way in without being qualified, and they're still having problems with everything there.
Well,
it's going to be a hot mess.
They've got 15 years to pull their act together.
Yeah, well, guess what?
You'll never know what happens.
By then, they may be bankrupt, so.
We could hit peak oil, and they can all of a sudden have billions of dollars.
This is nowhere near what this is nowhere near our.
Yeah, no, it's not. We've gone off on a very strange tangent.
Yeah, this is bordering on train.
See, you did need me.
Actually, we didn't go this far off the rails without you. I think you make us jump off the rails.
Not necessarily that's because I'm fun and entertaining person.
Yeah, well, it's not necessarily a bad thing.
One day, primary vehicles.
Paul, what are you doing?
Sitting.
What is that in the back?
That's not Paul. That is my wife undoing her. What are you doing?
Right next to the microphone.
Yeah, I noticed that you blame me.
Because your name popped up when that noise came up.
She has a
through my speakers.
She has a Velcro boot strap on her foot, and she's removing her boot.
Hold on.
It's a medical boot. It's not that exciting.
Another medical boot.
I was all excited for you that you guys are getting freaky.
No, I I have A9 fiberglass cast on my right foot, which you were not aware of. So yeah. Where do we need to restart? Take that
so
from
one day.
One day. One
so
day.
One day. I've been ready since first call.
We're plugged in now.
Sir, are we gonna? The whole I've been ready since first call, really? I've been doing heteronormative cleaning tasks, so, you know.
She's been in the kitchen.
Barefoot.
Well, you know what? You make your choices.
Making me sandwiches.
Yes, I made him sandwiches, and I was barefoot when I did it.
Are you pregnant? Please tell me you're pregnant. That would be funny.
We're working on it.
Oh.
I guess you really that was more than you wanted to know, huh?
Ew.
You know, I hate to tell you, Paul, you were probably generated in the customary way. Just saying.
No, I was delivered by a stork. My mama told me.
Cabbage patch.
Good lord.
I remember that move! Cabbage patch. Cabbage patch.
Okay, so
I was doing it there in case you couldn't tell. I was doing the cabbage patch. It was from the 90s.
You know, the scary thing is that I will date myself by admitting that I actually know what that looks like.
Oh, honey, don't date yourself. Even you can do better than you.
Wow!
Come on, that was good.
Oh, I'm gonna. I still like you, Paul.
That was just an extraordinary display of my wit and quick timing.
Yeah, that's true. What do they call that? It's the French phrase for that is
insightful observation, impeccably phrased and delivered with exceptional timing.
Wow. It's good to know that you have ego strength, Paul.
The world is always trying to bash you down. Might as well make it hard for them.
That's what she said.
Speaking of wit, snore.
So
Doctor Who, you did
Doctor
see
Doctor Who!
Yay!
Okay, I just want to point out right from the jump that I was completely right, and that just because we could name 11 actors who have played the Doctor does not mean that those were his only 11 incarnations.
Right.
Said it from the jump.
There was an extra one between 8 and 9.
I like the War Doctor.
There's highly likely even more than one. Who was he before he was the old man that we know as Doctor One? How long had he been alive at that point?
Well, he had been alive for several hundred years at that point, but that was the original Doctor. And we know this because at the end of the 50th anniversary, they said that all 13 Doctors came together to hide Gallifrey.
No. They said that more than 13. All of his future ones do it too. All of his previous ones do it.
They said all 13, though.
No, they said all 13, and they said no, all of them.
We may have to go back and you know, look at the script on that. Wow.
And they did show Peter Capaldi for all of about 2.5 seconds.
Who the hell is Peter Capaldi?
He's the new doctor.
He's the new doctor. The Christmas episode is going to be Matt Smith's last one.
Why do you tell me these things?
Yeah,
I thought you knew.
I'm
spoilers.
Oh, good lord! That's not a huge spoiler. Even the BBC is talking about that.
Spoilers! This is me you're talking about. I won't watch a preview for something that I like just so I don't get anything spoiled. I knew nothing about A Link Between Worlds because I knew I was gonna buy it, and so I didn't read a review. I didn't watch a commercial. I just went out and bought it.
Okay, yeah. So at what
point? Well, now you have like 4 weeks to brace yourself for no more Matt Smith.
It's not like I'm not going to watch it.
Yes. But if it had come as a surprise, you would have been devastated.
Yes, and I would have cried, and that was exactly the cathartic relationship I would have needed with the end of Matt Smith.
Eleven is your doctor, isn't she?
I don't want to go.
Oh, yeah, that was hard. Thank you very much. I did not want to. I loved seeing Tennant back. And yeah, I realized at that point how much I missed him as the doctor.
But I missed him as the doctor only like in relationship to the other people that they had playing with his companions. Like I missed him as the doctor only in as much as he played off of Billy Piper and only so much as he played off of Freema. What's her name?
Freema Agyeman. Yeah. I kind of missed
I think that
John
Matt
Barrowman. I need more John Barrowman on Doctor Who, but you know he's on Arrow now, so I can't complain too much.
Who was he in this episode? I didn't even see him. Which one was he?
Captain Jack Sparrow or Harkness. Sparrow Harkness. Oh my God! I think I just missed
okay.
my
first
metaphors.
First of all, not get your gay icons confused.
Sorry.
Moving on. Yeah, where was he in this episode?
He wasn't that I saw anywhere.
Okay, is it a spoiler to mention what happened to Captain Jack?
No, wait, what happened? He ended up on Torchwood.
Well, he ended up on Torchwood, but the implication in the episodes that you have seen all of New Who, right?
I've seen everything.
You've seen everything. So the intimation was that he became the face of Bo, the giant head in a bottle.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Captain Jack is dead. Like, OMG dead.
No, he can't die.
I realize that he's too fabulous to die.
A hot ass like that never dies.
You know what? Yeah, tell it to Nathan.
I have very little to live for. Don't fuck with me.
Tell it to Nathan Fillion, all right?
Nathan Fillion hasn't died in anything yet that I'm aware of.
Yet. You never know what Joss would have done to him if they had allowed him to keep doing Firefly.
Yeah.
I mean,
Captain
shit.
Zoe? I want them to bring back Torchwood. That was a good show.
It was a good show right up until the American version, and then I couldn't even finish watching the American version. I don't know what happened on it.
Have you watched the American TV movie that was supposed to be a pilot for Doctor Who in the States?
The 1996
no.
movie
Who would
with Paul McGann.
Terrible, terrible idea.
Eric Roberts is the master.
That was pretty amazing. Eric Roberts was hot as hell, and B, did a really good heavy. Like, he plays a bad guy really, really well.
Oh, I thought you were calling him fat.
No, that, oh my God.
Wow. You know, if you really want a bad Doctor Who experience, you can do Doctor Who and the Daleks, and they have that on Rift Track, so you can have it with MST3K commentary.
Mm. Oh, no, you really want a terrible experience? There's a... there's some film I picked up at New York Comic Con one day. I didn't know what the hell it was, but I was intrigued by the title and the cover art. It was called like Revenge of the Daleks or something. And
oh,
it's just
Peter
this
Cushing.
I don't even know what this was. It was some film that somebody made somewhere where the Daleks like abduct four busty women. And we'll just let it sit there in your minds that way.
There were two Doctor Who movies done in the 60s, both with Peter Cushing as the Doctor.
So are we talking like Who porn or what?
Dalek porn. There was no Doctor in it.
Oh.
Ah, okay.
Wow. Okay.
Here, check
we're
the link
sorry.
I just sent you.
Oh, but my computer is gonna die. Why do you
well,
do
you
this
can do it
me?
Later, Paul. Just the others can look at it.
We're the others.
We're the others.
Paul and the others.
Okay.
That name.
Yeah, that's starting to sound like a bad band name. Yeah.
All right, so are we talking about Doctor Who? Are we talking about this episode? What are we doing?
So 50th anniversary, I was just excited to see Tom Baker come on at the end. I thought that was fantastic. It was
really overly sentimental.
Uh-huh.
I feel bad that I didn't recognize him.
Well, you haven't watched all of, Doctor Who, so you wouldn't know. Tom Baker is my doctor.
I like that Billy Piper came back as not Rose.
Yes.
I love the fact that she was the interface.
Yeah.
So that was fun. She got to hang out for a little bit. I couldn't tell if her face looked weird anymore, though.
It didn't look particularly weird to me.
Because you remember that time? You remember that time when she came back, right? Her face just looked fucked up.
She had like a tooth job or something, and yeah, exactly.
I like the fact that Billie Piper is an attractive woman, but she's not like conventional plastic Barbie stick figure pretty. You know, she doesn't look like she came out of central casting.
Like, say, well, the cast of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah. Well, and she's not your...
Watch that crap.
She's also not the manic pixie companion, which, frankly, I think that... Clara is a little manic pixie here.
Clara.
The problem is that the doctor is a little bit manic pixie at this point.
Yeah. They calmed them both down a little bit. I don't really care for Clara.
I'm just so glad that they're going with an older doctor for the next doctor, because, you know, it just seemed wrong to me that the doctor was being played by actors younger than me. So the doctor needs to be an older gentleman, and I'm excited to see a return to form there. And they hinted at that in the 50th anniversary, right? With John Hurt going, what am I having a midlife crisis? Why are you suddenly children? I don't understand.
Well, and the bit about timey wimey wibbly wobbly.
Yes.
What is this?
Yes. Who talks like that? I have no
idea. Well, I mean, it does make sense because he went through something horrific. So
right.
it is his character reverting to a more childlike state in order to deal with the trauma.
Right,
well,
right.
Yeah,
I would agree with that, yeah.
Yes, it's never too late to have a happy childhood.
I mean, even if you're a billion, apparently.
But, you know, the way they were going, where they went from Eccleston to Tennant to Matt Smith, my fear was that they were going to, you know, do a 16-year-old Doctor Who next, and they did not.
Oh, that'd be so hot.
Oh, God.
There's so much you could do there.
Boy Time Lord.
Oh, yeah, then they.
But no, but it would answer a lot of Time Lord physiology questions, wouldn't it?
How hilarious would it be if they were going to go that direction? They would have had to grab Rupert Grint, so that he could be a ginger.
Oh, that'd be funny. Even though, you know, Neville turned out to be the hot one.
Oh, yeah, thank you. I'm glad I'm not the only one. I
read an article today about how Neville is the pivotal character in the entire series.
Yeah, and holy crap, did that kid grow up good.
Yeah.
Jesus, I felt ridiculously pervy watching the last film, going, oh my God, I could be your mother, all of you, and... Hey,
don't knock until you tried it.
Wow. Okay.
That goes eerily well with the rape comment from earlier.
Oh dear.
He better edit that out, or I'm gonna be really pissed. I will be pissed enough to not do the show again. I mean, it was all well and good as a joke.
In context. Out
in
of context.
But yeah, I mean, because I don't remember what led me to say it. It was something about, he was talking about a movie in which a woman's getting raped by a robotic hand. And I'm like, that doesn't even make sense. I prefer all my raping to be done with a penis. Which, right, when you hear it in context, it's kind of funny. But then out of context... Game designer for the Olympic team says, I prefer my raping to be done with a penis. Then it's a little bit of a career problem.
That's yeah. Okay, Paul. Nobody listens to the podcast anyway.
Thank God.
Yeah, well, the worst part is that I hear jokes like this, and A, I'm not offended. Well, but B, I then start imagining the pictures that get shared of Jonah on Facebook, and all of a sudden I'm frightened.
Twitter.
No, Facebook. Somebody shared an absurdly coy picture of Jonah with the world's largest fucking fig leaf and nothing else.
That's awesome.
Wait, and how old was he when he took that?
Well, the thing is that, keep in mind, that fig leaf wasn't big enough, so they had to cut it off at a certain part.
Well, yeah,
how old were you when you took that?
I have the original photo on my
computer. Why would you agree to that being cut off? I don't understand.
The photo was cut off.
Dude, if he had the rest of it cut off, he wouldn't have the problem that he's having with the TSA. Are you kidding?
Oh, okay.
But you haven't answered my question. How old were you when you took that photo, Jonah? Like, is this an old photo? Has this been floating around the net for 10 years?
Like mid to late 20s.
All right. Okay. So it's not like it's a new photo.
No,
it's
15, 20 years.
Maybe early 30s.
So this explains the very fresh of face. Okay.
I don't have Facebook anymore, so I didn't see that picture.
Trust me, it's not like you were missing much.
Okay.
No.
But you liked Jonah's high school.
You were missing a lot, apparently.
Because Jonah's high school picture was adorable.
Oh, I wouldn't not sleep with him.
Yeah, but my high school quote is so... I was emo before emo was a thing. It's like... It made me sound like either A, I was going to take a couple hundred sleeping pills after graduation, or B, I was going to do a little bit of Columbining, you know? It just was that depressing and dark and ugh.
Well, so what? Were you, like, listening to The Cure at the time?
No, I just wrote whatever. You know, they say, put in your high school quote for the yearbook, and I couldn't think of anything, so I just wrote that, and... I don't know. I don't think I was in a bad state of mind, but it makes me sound like I'm getting my Uzi ready. It's like I'm going to be going to school on the final day of school with two bandoliers, you know?
Did you see that news article today about using the period as punctuation makes you sound angry?
Period?
Using a period correctly in a sentence apparently makes you sound angry now.
No, the only thing that periods make angry are women. That's the only thing they make angry.
Oh.
Wow, way to be sexist.
Be
very, very careful, Jonah.
I had to go there.
I'm coming close to that time, and I might have to just reach through the microphone and strangle you.
No, well, you know, that reminds me of Whoopi Goldberg's...
You know, in the Truth Book, they call it the moon flow.
I think it's a lot more poetic. Whoopi Goldberg's back on Broadway, and she has this segment about a woman who's going through the change, right? And she says, you know, I enjoy it now because whenever I'm bothered by those twinky little sales girls, she says, well, I can tell them, you know what? Now, I'm on, you know, what's it called? I could kill you and stab you. And no one ever convict me because I'm menopausal. So, you know.
Wow, that's messed up.
No, but it's Whoopi. I mean, I made it. You know, I'm misquoting it, but the way she says it, you know, because it's all about accepting growing older and, you know, accepting and enjoying it, you know, while it happens and all that stuff. So, anyways, you have to see it. It's Whoopi Goldberg.
Okay.
Okay, well, on that note, if we are not going to be talking about
talk about Doctor Who a bit more. And by the way, I would recognize Tom Baker because he had that cameo in Dungeons & Dragons.
I don't remember that.
Oh, well, he had a cameo with the King of the Elves, as the King of the Elves.
He was a blind priest on a BBC show called Strange that was very good. I thought it was a very good 50th anniversary. I was excited to see everybody that came back. I was somewhat disappointed that Christopher Eccleston did not come back, but I guess he still has a bucket to ask about something. Yeah, why didn't he?
It would have been such a better episode if he was in it.
He quit Doctor Who because he didn't like the way that the staff was being treated, and felt that the staff was worked unfairly without extra pay, and quit as a protest move. And so he but the entire cast and crew of Doctor Who has changed over since he was working on it. So I don't understand what his problem is now, but apparently that's the deal.
Yeah, it would have been interesting to see him talking to the War Doctor. The two of them would have been commiserating about how childish the other two were.
Or, yeah, exactly. Or have the final transformation from the War Doctor into Nine. That would have been nice.
Eh, whatever.
Yeah. But the next up is the Christmas episode, so we still have one to talk about next month sometime.
Yay!
I really have to say that I have been let down by the Christmas episode really far too many times to look forward to it.
Aww.
Yeah, now, and like it's always like the 7-year-old's episode.
Yeah.
You realize that Doctor Who as a thing is kind of aimed at children.
It was always intended to be a kid's show.
Crickets. Crickets.
No, seriously, that was when it was invented in 1963. The idea was that they would have shows set in the future to teach kids about science, and shows set in the past to teach kids about history. And that's why they invented Doctor Who.
Right, but what makes science fiction at all interesting as an art form, as a storytelling medium, is its ability to reflect back on the human condition, teaching neither science nor history.
That's true.
Teaching about the present.
Right.
Or just, you know, exploring the possibilities and, you know, decision states and what ifs.
Smith, I completely forgot that comets circle the Earth.
Okay.
It doesn't have Sarah
Jean Chronicles.
So.
Well, anyway. No, I mean, that was the whole thing. Like, that was, like, really skewing that concept down to, like, 8-year-old level.
Yeah,
and that was one of her lines. She's like, oh, I completely forgot that comets travel through space.
Oh, good grief. Okay, so basically this was Magic School Bus channeling Doctor Who, or the other way around, I guess.
Sorry, Jane Chronicles were awful. And then Torchwood was supposed to be older, which is why it was sexier.
Right.
Ew.
So Doctor Who is supposed to be for, like, 17-year-olds. It's, like, or like, just 2 years shy of their age of consent, whatever it is over there.
Wow, so that puts an interesting spin on River Song, I must say.
So here's the fun fact with Peter Capaldi, who will be the new Doctor. He actually was in a prior episode. You remember the episode with Pompeii?
Okay. Yeah. So wait. So he was in a prior episode with Matt Smith and.
No, with Tennant.
And what's her name?
It was David Tennant as the Doctor and Catherine Tate as Donna.
So he was in the Pompeii episode with David Tennant and Catherine Tate, and Catherine Tate was in whatever with Kevin Bacon.
There you go.
That they'll find a way to have some sort of connection with it and say, oh, I was there before.
Oh no, if you want to get an idea of what he looks like, go back to the Pompeii episode, and he was the dad of the house that they rescued at the end of the Pompeii episode.
And we find out it was a doctor pretending to be the dad.
And further fun fact, the blind Sirius prophet woman is the actress who later went on to play Amy Pond.
Sort of reminds me of Harry Morgan in MASH, you know, when he played that crazy.
Sort of reminds me of the Whedonverse.
Mm. Yes.
People just never seem to leave.
So it sounds like.
All right, I'm going to go watch RuPaul now.
All right.
Cool.
Bye.
Bye.
Later, kids.
Yeah, you could have landed that a little bit more smoothly. Just, you know.
Landed what?
I don't know. A little bit more smooth than that. But, anyways.
What? I'm out of time. It is time to watch RuPaul.
I'm going to go play with pirates.
Okay, go ahead and watch your RuPaul's.
Bye, Paul. Have fun.
Bye, guys.